How's everybody doing today?
Good. Good. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Count this a privilege and a blessing. I don't know why Bill picked me, but he did take his place today. He's in Mexico, in Irapuato, giving a conference of a revival or something along that line. But I do count this a blessing, and it's been a long time since I stood before the congregation of 602 Okno, and through many things in life that's come our way, I tell you, this is the best place to be. This is the best place to be. And if the Lord's dealing with you about serving Jesus, young person, I would say it'd be the best choice you've ever made. Because it will be worth it all. And we're going to see Jesus one day. And he's going to give us the other side of the whole story.
Amen.
On that thought, let's pray. Father, I do need you. I pray, God, that you'd bless the thoughts and the words that will be said today. Remove me from self. And Lord, may you come in and intervene and deal with the souls of these people here. You brought them for a reason. Nothing happens by mistake. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Bless these thoughts. Bless this word, which is your word, into the hearts of the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And it goes on. I want to divide this thought here into about three thoughts, and they're right here in the scripture. It's neglect, not in the order of the scripture, but neglect, escape, and a great salvation. Neglect being the first thought, because it's just what we see is happening every time, not every time, but in most cases, neglect of the great salvation of Jesus Christ. It's happening constantly. And this neglect that's happening is not just by the world. Because the world has plenty of neglecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Neglect has to do as here it says, where he says, how shall we escape? Apostle, we believe it might have been Paul, put himself in it. Him as a Hebrew, as a Jew, talking to the nation and to Christians of all throughout the world. In other words, neglecting comes by us too.
Amen.
Okay? I'll tell you that because I'm a we.
Amen.
Just like you are. We neglect the things of the Lord. It's just a habit, because like was said today in the teaching, because of our fallen nature, because of our ulterior motives, because of ego, because of self.
Amen.
We're constantly dealing with the flesh. Like was said earlier, yeah, I wish it wasn't, you know, that it'd be just the spirit, not dealing with the things of the flesh. We have to deal with the things of the flesh. But I thought about that word neglect. Neglect has to do with an unconcern. If you're going to neglect something, it's because you're not concerned. You're not concerned. It could also be careless. Careless. Neglect is just being careless. And many, many Christians, and I'll include myself, we are careless many times. We don't believe God's word enough. We don't believe in Jesus enough for us to say, I need to be more careful.
Guilty, amen.
I need just to be more careful.
Amen.
Neglect is also indifference. I think this is something I see on the streets of San Antonio. People are just indifferent. They're so indifferent that to the gospel that they'll tell you in your face. They'll cuss you out. That's how indifferent they are. In other words, they don't believe in God. And I'm just speaking in general, because I don't know the hearts of men. But there's a lot of indifference out there. And there might be a lot of indifference right in here. Indifference. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. You know? Hey, he commanded us to do that. But it ought to be something we ought to be willing to do. I mean willing, because we're going to do it with him one day. Preacher, we're going to do it with him one day. We neglect. We're indifferent to God's things. You know, God's looking down. God's looking in. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's there with us while you're watching the ball game Sunday night. Or watching the other show, whatever it might be. Inattention. Neglect is also not giving attention to God's things. God's voice. You know, that's one thing that scares me. What scares me is when God stops probing my heart. Not probing, he's probing, but just touching my heart. Where he convicts me of where I failed him. You know? I want to pay attention to what he has to say, what he has to do for me, what he wants for me. Heedless. You're not heeding. You're not paying attention. You're not heeding to his call. When the Lord showed me the other day when that person asked me, hey, let's go drink some beers after this meeting. And I said no. And when I said no, I meant no. But then that person asked me again, and I just said, because I just don't drink. Shame on me. I should have told that person, it's because I'm a Christian. Amen. We're neglecting this great salvation. How are you neglecting the great salvation? You've been recently saved, or been saved many years, and you know that it's God's purpose for us to meet together and to exhort one another. And another part of that which I'm sure Brother Brian's going to speak on about the Lord's Supper is we're communion with the Lord, but we're also communion one another with the Lord. We're a body. We're a body. And it seems like that we're a body that's severed in a lot of places because of neglect. I think about neglect. Excuse me. I didn't think I was going to need it. In the street, I just get out and preach, and I just preach, and I preach, and I'm done. Then I go drink some water. Or every once in a while, somebody will give us some water, right, Danny? That's all good. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You think about this spring. It's been a beautiful spring, hasn't it? Some of y'all, I know, many of y'all complain, oh, when's it going to stop raining or whatever? And then well, we know the whole story. We ought to be thankful for the rain. But you think about the greenery out here, San Antonio, Texas. How is that we're seeing so much greenery here in San Antonio? It was like we're living over there in Virginia or South Carolina or something, you know, all the green that we have. And I see all the yards. My yard has been it's been under a big oak tree, and I got to cutting it the other day because they're going to pick up some branches. But the grass is kind of not there, you know what I'm saying? And the other grasses have been there because they don't have a big oak tree on, over their yard. But you know what I notice? It's all green. But then when the sun hits the green and the grass starts growing, all of a sudden the weeds start growing too. You know, I think that's how many of us Christians, and hello, you that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's how you appear before one another. We're real green, if you will. It seems like everything's okay, but there's many a weeds in our lives. Many a weeds. Amen. You know, it's something, like it says here in that first verse, towards the end of it, well, just read it all. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. We're letting these things slip.
Amen.
And we're letting the weeds come in.
Right.
And it ought not be that way. You need to take up the weeds in your life. I don't know what they are. Maybe you're letting some illicit sex, some fornication, some adultery, or something come into your life. Maybe you're drinking when no one else knows about it. Something, you're letting the weeds come into your life. You're permitting things that you didn't once did in your life. Or at least you had a better control of it. I do, in my work of duty, my line of duty, my work, I do housekeeping inspections, and I'm falling behind on them because I accumulated half of workload from a coworker that they took and moved the person to another area, and so I got a bunch of files and work and what have you. And I'm not here to complain about that. I'm thankful I got a job, but you know, I have to with my manager. We'll go and we'll do housekeeping inspections. And we'll see how people are living, because we're not there to, you know, tell them how to live, but we see things. Now we'll see some houses that are immaculate. I mean, some of these low income residents, some of them, they live very well. They keep clean. They make my house look a little like, hey man, I need to tidy up here. I'm doing a housekeeping, cleaning them over here for her. And you see what I'm saying? But you know, there's some houses, boy, they're just, woo, man. You can't even walk in some of these houses. I mean, you can, but it's just, woo. The air just opening the door. Sometimes just the door shut, you smell the air coming through. Then you have to go in there and see all the mess. And nobody likes to be told how to keep their house clean. But it has to be done. It's part of the policy. How's your house?
Amen.
I'm not talking about your physical house, right, but that might, you might need some of that too,
amen.
Right? But how's your house?
Amen.
Is your house, hey, let me flip that on the other side. Maybe your house is spotless and clean. You that are Christian, how's the Lord's house in your life? I ain't got time because I got to keep my house clean. I got to do the chores that I can't do during the week. You better find time to do those things during the week because God wants you to meet in His name. We've got to make some sacrifices. We have to make some sacrifices. Some people's lives are like that. Their houses are, spiritually speaking, they're just a wreck. And God wants to give you something. He wants to give you a boost. He wants to give you, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, He wants to give you His Spirit and His Word and His life in you,
Thank you, Lord.
That you can have some victory
Thank
over
you, Lord.
The weeds that are in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
In Romans 14:12, go over there. Short verse. 14:12 of Romans. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, I think we have an idea that that, because I know I've had it as a Christian. All the, you know, there's, let me backtrack a little bit. There's basically, there's many judgments in the Bible, but there's two main ones. One for the Christian, the throne of grace, and the other one is the great white throne for those that don't know Jesus as Savior. That's two different judgments. But you know what? I think us as Christians, many of us have had the idea that the throne of grace is going to be a piece of cake. Because, after all, we're saved. Right? You know, amens. I bet you there are some amens. You have that attitude that, hey, the throne of grace is going to be a piece of cake. No, it's not going to be a piece of cake. Amen. You know, you think about it. I was talking about my work. I've been audited, as Bill was preaching a couple, maybe a month back or so, about auditing, that our lives are going to be audited. We're going to have to give account of ourselves to God. And just this idea that they were going to audit my files made me nervous. It made me nervous. It stressed me out. I was like, oh, they're gonna look for every I that's dotted and every T that's crossed. They're gonna look what I've neglected to do a better job of. I can make my excuse. Oh, I got the other caseload now. No, there ain't no excuse. When you sit down there before your assistant director and your manager and the auditor, and good thing the main auditor wasn't there, but he had to sit there and give some explanation. I said, well, this was done because of the previous person that handled these files. They shook their head. Nope. You need to get those files right. I didn't do too bad for y'all to think that I really, I'm not going to boast that I did real good, but I didn't do too bad. And you know what? You know what it made me do? At least have the mind frame a little better of? To do my files better. Get better. Take out those weeds. Cross those T's and dot those I's. And you know what it also gave me a little thought of? The judgment seat of Christ.
Right. Amen.
Judgment seat of Christ. Ain't going to be no piece of cake. Oh, you know what? Even some of our thoughts, some of just waking moments at night, we're thinking things that we ought not think. We need to say, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
God's going to audit us. And you that don't know Jesus as your Savior, it won't be no piece of cake. And it's not gonna be a piece of cake either judgment. It's not gonna be a piece of cake, but it's not gonna be a piece of cake for you. You're gonna hear the words from Him, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, He knows who you are. He knows all about you. But He does not know you as one of His children. This idea that that all are children of God, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Just watch what men do. Just see how men live. Just see what comes, just hear what comes out of their mouths.
Amen.
You don't want that to be told you. I might have walked in today. Maybe you've been coming to this church a long time, and you have been neglecting God's salvation. You've been putting on a show. You've been just doing what everybody else does, and just passing through time. You are going to meet Jesus one day, and I'll tell you one thing: Jesus is love, but Jesus is also just, and He's also a judge.
Amen.
You need to escape. Second thing, you need to escape. You need to escape because you can't escape on your own. Like a prisoner can't escape on his own. He needs to be granted a parole. He needs to be found innocent, he or she, or whatever it might be. Something needs to happen for that prisoner to escape. And you know what? Not all the prisoners are in jail. There's some prisoners right here, right here in this room today. Prisoners of their sin, prisoners of the devil. You'll see that here in a minute. Prisoners of their own wicked heart. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, Old Testament. Very familiar verse for many. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Begin there. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
Our hearts deceive us.
Right.
Have you ever misjudged somebody? Yes. You found out differently?
Amen.
We do it all the time.
Amen.
All the time. I got to catch myself and say, I'm prejudging. I'm being prejudiced. But you know, because we have a deceitful heart, it tricks us. It lies to us. That's why you can't trust in your emotion. You can't trust in self. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to trust in His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. You and I, we change. We're flip-flopping in different things in our own minds. His word is sure and it's steadfast and it's good. I don't know where I could imagine where I'd be right now if it wasn't because someone came knocking on my door and saying, let me show you the Bible. You know what? Let me tell you, that wasn't no mistake.
Thank you, Lord.
And that wasn't that guy either.
Thank you, Lord.
Was the Lord Jesus Christ using that servant to talk to me about this great salvation. I was watching this morning, Sunday morning. It's called Sunday morning on TV. Guy was a professed Christian. And let me tell you, this happens all the time. Professed Christian going to a Baptist church of some sort. And all of a sudden he turns and becomes an atheist. I've seen it. I've heard stories through the other missionaries how they go from this gospel of grace to believing some erroneous teaching, like sinless perfection, like we can be without. No, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How are you teaching that other stuff? And they fall for it. Now this man. He left. He decided to be an atheist for whatever reason. And his wife and his three daughters. Something happened. The wife divorced the man or somehow. I don't know how it went, but he's on his own now. And the wife and the daughters are living in separate lives. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. This man... Because he was told that he was wicked or something like that. And then he says, but I'm moral. He's an atheist, but he's moral. Man, if there's no God, why be moral? You know what it tells me? In the back of his mind, he still believes in God. Atheists, there are all kinds of them. Hey, don't believe the lies of the false teachers. Don't believe, you need to get and adhere to God's word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I said a little while ago that you need to escape. You need to get delivered. You need to be made free. You can't make yourself free. A lot of people have this idea they're going to free themselves. And you can fill in the blank with what? But God, Jesus, the Lord, God Himself, He'll make you free. And free not to live like any old way, but free to love Him and to serve Him and without condemnation of any sort and say, thank you, Lord, you made me free. Like I say, there's some prisoners here. You're going to walk out that door. Hopefully,
with Jesus. But they're going to walk out the door. If they don't go with Jesus, they're still going to be prisoners. Look what it says in 2 Timothy. It talks about how to serve the Lord. Verse 24, and to serve the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And listen what it says in verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know why you do all those things that fills your pleasure bucket? Because you're of the devil. Jesus told some Jewish people in his time, because they said, "Well, we're born of Abraham," and saying, "Yeah, because we're Jewish, we're God's people." He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He says, "Of your father." Captive by Satan himself. God brought you here to hear his word one more time. And he using just an old street preacher, another old man to tell you one more time. Come out from among them, from the wide and broad gate that leads to destruction, and come unto that straight and narrow path that leads into life. Because let me tell you, few, they're going to be there finding. Few. You one of the few? I like this phrase. I say, I might not be a Marine, but I'm one of the spiritual Marines. I'm one of the few. Not because of what I do, but because of what he's done. You're going to continue walking that wide gate, doing what everybody else does. Oh, you're not as bad as the rest. But you're still bad. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And you cannot save yourself by church attendance or by doing some good work, coming up and preaching the gospel. That's not going to save you. Going out in the streets, sending out letters, whatever it might be, giving your money to whoever, whatever charity out there, you cannot pay the price for your soul. The price for your soul has been paid for. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not no baptism. That's not what washes you your sins. It's the Amen. Blood, faith in the blood Amen. Of Jesus Christ that'll wash you from your sins. And my last thought is that great salvation. Some people, that's all they do is preach the great salvation.
Amen.
See, when you come in here, you're going to hear those things that you need to hear, lest they slip. Or somewhere else. Not to boast on the church, but I'm going to tell you, you ought to be thankful for a church that tells you where you're wrong and where you need to get right. You and I. Oh, I know, I don't like someone over me in authority. Who does? We like to be the head person. We like to be the boss. God help us. That's our nature, but praise the Lord. It's a great gift, though.
Amen.
It's a great salvation. We're preaching that Jesus that saves. You know, they call us Bible thumpers, like we're thumping people over the head with the Bible. Hey, we're trying to say, wake up. We're not literally hitting them out there, but we're trying to say, wake up, wake up. There's a great salvation. If you'll just but repent, turn, like the old preacher would say, turn or burn, right? And there is a hell. There is a hell. I'm not preaching all of that today, but there is a hell. And it's not no good place. It's a great salvation, because when Jesus died on the cross, like it says over there in John 19:30, that he said, "It is finished." It's a great salvation because you have nothing to add to it. You're just free to serve him now. You're just free to walk and follow him. It is finished.
Amen.
And he gave up the ghost. The price has been paid for all your sins. You know, the Bible says he became sin for us. He that knew no sin. He became your and my sin.
Thank you, Lord.
You know which ones? You know which ones? The past ones. The present ones. And the future ones.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he died, when he died back then, almost 2,000 years ago. He was buried and he rose again the third day to justify sinners like you and me. It is finished. Price has been paid, my sinner friend. It's paid. What are you waiting on? Come receive the payment. Better than the lottery. Better than your boats and your houses and whatever it might be, because you're going to leave it all behind. Enjoy what you got. If God's giving you, you know God's been blessing you, okay. But let me tell you, don't put too tight of a grip on these things. Because Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Also, like it says in John 14, he says he's gone to prepare us a mansion. And then he goes on later on and says, I am the way. They say, well, Master, how do the disciples say, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, basically, I question it. How come he didn't know the way? He was walking with the way all this time. Man. Yeah, I probably would have done the same. I probably would have done worse. Not condemning him. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. He's gone to prepare a place for you. Yeah, no storms, no tornadoes, no nothing, even the disasters of whatever disaster might come your way in this life cannot ruin. And you know, just to get to heaven, like it's been said around here, it's good enough.
Amen.
But on top of that, you got a mansion waiting. A mansion. Better than any mansion here in San Antonio or anywhere else. It's a great salvation. And also because it's a gift.
Amen.
Look in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And then verse 8 and 9, familiar text. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Brother Brent used to say, he uses an example there. He says, look, if I got two cars, right? Probably chopping up his illustration. But anyway, he said, I got two cars. You know what? I'll give you one. I'll give you one of them if you wash my car however many times. You know what? That's not a gift. But if he says, well, you know, I got two cars, I'll give you one. Be on your own, be on your way. That's a gift. That's what God wants to give you. Yeah, we preach about being faithful. We preach about, you know, not neglecting some things and neglecting other things. Okay? Yes. But all these things, you're not paying for your way to get to heaven. It's for your good and my good. It's been paid for. God wants to give it to you. His Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We were downtown this last Wednesday, and this lady was behind Danny while he was preaching. And he was harping on that you can know you have eternal life. Like it says in 1 John 5, 12, 13, you can know that he says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And you know, when she said, well, how can I know? And I guess Danny got the idea that this lady's just trying to disrupt him. And that's where it's good where two go together. And I said, well, you know what? Let me kick in. Let me go over there and talk to her. I'll let Danny continue his preaching. And she asked that question, how can you know? And I showed her that 1 John 5:12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life. And then these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You can know it.
Amen.
I showed her that. And then I showed her Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she said, you know what? I'm going to go look. Where is that at again? She did a note in her memory, and she said, Romans 10:9, I'm going to go look that up. I'm taking my nephew with me, and we're going to go study this out. I hope she gets saved. I hope she got, I almost was willing to tell her, you know what, just call on the Lord right now. But Brent didn't do that to me. I told Brent, you know, what do I need to do? Well, you know what to do. It's written right there. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. He didn't even have to repeat it. I looked at it again. I said, you know what? That's what I need to do. He says, what you waiting on? And you know what? I waited no more. And at that moment, I started calling the Lord. My wife was present. Brent, Brother Schreiner in the background, praying, I'm sure. And you know what? I called on Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there was a little small little detail in that. A little interruption happened. And maybe today, something's trying to interrupt you from giving your life to Jesus. What happened was that phone began to ring. Ring, ring. I said, man, what a time. I'm going to call on the Lord right now. Now I got to answer this phone. You know what I said? No, that's the devil. And I called on Jesus. I don't know who it was on the phone, but evidently it wasn't important. They didn't call back. Trying to disrupt me. Devil's knocking. He's ringing the bell. Hey. Don't give your life to Christ. That's what he's telling you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you didn't just come here by accident. Last verse, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I want you to know that if something in your heart is telling you, you know, this ain't just this mumbling preacher up here. There's something I need to do. You know, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you who that is. That's not this preacher. That's God himself. Look what it says in Hebrews 12. I'm going to read 24. It's just good. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Are you listening? Is God, the Holy Spirit, touching your heart? And telling you, you need to make a decision. Best decision you'll ever make. I'm going to tell you it is. It's not about your investments. That's not the best decision. It's not about who you're going to marry or not marry, who you're going to divorce or whatever. See what I'm saying? We got decisions to make. And hopefully you make good decisions in what this life brings. But let me tell you, the greatest decision is what you're going to do when God speaks to you. Are you going to let him pass you by? You're gonna let them pass you by. We're not playing entertainment here. We're not playing church here. We're dealing with God's word. And if God spoke to you, you need to act upon it. You need to act upon it. I'm gonna tell you, I know God's been dealing with me, and he's brought me through some things and bringing me through others and what have you. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't repent of asking Jesus to save my life. And you know what? I don't even repent of serving the Lord on the mission field. Whatever might have happened, I don't repent of it. Because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. But that's just another thing, another thought. But you know what? Don't refuse him that's speaking to you. Okay? We're going to end it with, if we may, y'all can stand and let's sing 253. The Lord's dealt with you. I'm nobody. There's an old-time altar, they call it down here, some chairs. Come on down. Or if you want to talk to one of us later on, that's fine. But do business with God. God's dealt with you. Number 253.